20th. Take your Bibles once again and turn to Ephesians 6. And please, if you would, be prepared to take some notes, at the very least, taking down the scripture that we're going to be looking at. This is what I was talking about last Sunday. Remember the scripture, then above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what the Word of God does, which is why this dovetails with that previous verse. Look again, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that what we see in your Word this morning will do so much to continue the work in us that you are doing, that you say that you do, and we know that you do. But it takes faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So may we have ears to hear this morning, I pray, in Christ's name, amen. We're going to be taking this verse, and we're going to be splitting it into two. The first section is this: get it in your head what God has done. Get it in your head what God has done. Look again and take the helmet of salvation. Many helmets were made of iron or brass. Some of the helmets were made of thick leather. But those, they were covered with metal plates. They usually had cheek plates to protect the face, the neck shields on the back of the helmet that would cover the neck. Some of them were padded on the inside to make them a little more comfortable when it came also to absorbing the blows. But bottom line, the Apostle Paul is taking this Roman soldier's armor, and by prayerfully being guided by the Holy Spirit, is looking at that and once again seeing, now this is what the person of God has, the one who has trusted Christ. This protection is for what the wicked one does. His deceptions, his denials, and his distortions. Without this protection, our thinking, and we might think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good thinker. No, wait a minute. Our thinking is open to the influences of the rulers of the darkness of this world. And remember what we learned from the get-go. When it came to the distortions to mankind's thinking. Folks, this is reality. The Bible is real. The Bible is real. It is factual. It is actual. It is there. And there was a wicked one that stood one day in the garden with Eve and said, yea, hath God said, and his modus operandi has not changed. Because of the presence, though, and the promises of God, the way we think can be changed. Now listen to me. This is very important. The devil was defeated by Christ. The devil was defeated by Christ. Christ himself said in John 12, 31, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. when it came to the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, Satan's power was snapped. All he has left, listen to me, all he has left is his lies. Because of that, brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to fill your mind with God's word. There are people that have not. There are people that used to sit in this auditorium and they've left the truth of God's word, or it has become minimized. You know, we get this idea, you know, that, man, our minds are good. And, you know, you when you consider what mankind has been able to do, and it's not just putting men on the moon. There's so many other things that he has done. But even with the brilliance of it all, stop and consider how few people actually prepare for eternity. That's foolishness. Because everybody dies. When it comes to being surrounded, the heavens declare the glory of God. There isn't a night that goes by that mankind isn't testified to by God. I mean, my soul, with what happened yesterday, you know, other people are seeing war, difficulty. I'm looking at my, I'm looking at the monitor and going, Bible. Bible. Again, you know, it's been said, I can give you one word, just one, to prove to you that the Bible is true. Israel. Some might argue that. Sorry. Ain't listening. I know what the Bible says. The wisdom of creation. People time and again studying even our own biology, DNA, the atom, on and on and on. Someone said this, and I was thinking about, especially nowadays, how we've seen people that hate our nation, that hate our God, how they've responded. Mankind's first sin separated us from God. Another sin, very close to that, Cain and Abel, separated man from man. All of a sudden, one took another person's life. You get to thinking about it. In both instances, Satan seeks to keep mankind blinded. We've already talked about this, that man's problem is what comes out of his heart. But the wicked one and his minions are taking people and he's separating them. This group needs to look out for this group because, boy, I'm telling you, they'll do this, these people harm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes on the outside, it winds up gelling out like that a little bit. But the bottom line is the greatest problem is our own sin. It doesn't matter how you're wrapped or where you're from or who your parents are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you take Satan and his lies, and you wind up realizing that Satan's lies plus the inner unregenerate mind of man, you put them together, we've got a problem. But God's people have the answer. Put it in your head. Think about, have you ever done this? Nobody watches you because you've got the door closed, you're in the bathroom. But you look in the mirror and you go, and you're looking right into that one eye. And you realize that the person that you're looking at is you. You are looking at the you of your life. Would you please stop and consider what the God of heaven has done with the you of your life. All right, if you can look these up, do it. If you can't, write it down at least. But if you can look it up, would you please go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, please listen to this. You know, our problem is, remember we talked about this, about how sometimes, you know, we don't recognize the faith that we exercise. For instance, when we were driving here this morning, you know, we're banking on the fact that that big truck that's coming in the other direction is going to stay on the other side of the double yellow line. You know, the person is going to stop. Why? Because it's a red light. There's also something else that we don't exercise if we're not careful. It's the renewal of truth every time we read a scripture. You're in 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man... Are you all listening? I'm going to stop and I'm going to make sure everybody's here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, say amen. That's you. Can I ask you a question? What does that mean? Have you ever stopped and hovered? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, here's our problem. In reading scripture day by day, we don't exercise, and I'll show you. We don't, folks. We don't. We don't exercise the faith given to the saints like we ought. Old things are passed away. Get back in front of that mirror and do this. Hey, buddy, do you realize you're changed forever? It's not future tense. It's right now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have we ever stopped and thought, I want to find out. I want to drill deep. I want to meditate on, cross-reference, just what that means. If somebody gave you $5 million, okay? Somebody gives you $5 million. Wow, where is it? Well, it's okay, it's yours. No, wait a minute. You gotta go, where is it? It's okay, it's yours. Well, I'm gonna find out where it is. I'm gonna find out what I can do. What about when the God of heaven does this? Look a few verses later. Look at verse 21. Now again, this puts the focus on our Savior. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, that's you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some sins that I've partaken of. I don't want people to know, and you've got the same kind of sin. I mean, when it comes to thought life, when it comes to acts, maybe that nobody else knows. Listen, we've got them. But you understand this? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you realize that you and I will never have to stand before God in terror because of what we have done? they are forgiven. And it's not just a thing where it's like, okay, I'm gonna forgive you, but I won't forget. No, when the God of heaven, when God the Father looks at each of us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Does that truth still move our hearts? Where does faith take us there? You don't need to turn to it. You know the verse, but listen to this. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I stop and I consider. There are people right now that will never taste forgiveness. It's too late. But I stop and think about this, that God so loved me. And by the way, he so loved you. Now, I'm stressing it for this purpose. Get it in your head. Why? Because Satan is the accuser of who? Huh? He's the accuser of the brethren. We is the brethren. Now, take your Bibles and go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. As we continue in this, once again, stop and consider. Look at verse 20. For when ye were, now notice this, speaking to believers, for when ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, I love that phrase, but now. Now, here's why I stress this. I was going to wait to stress this later on. I'm going to do it now. God's people sometimes will read something in Scripture. God, through the human authors that he used, will make a statement of promise, a statement of his action on our behalf, something that he has given of us, something that he has instilled in us. He will make a statement, but because we can't feel it, we figure we've got to yearn for it. We've got to beg for it. Or we'll never personally experience that. Welcome, Satan, to another individual believing a lie. I want you to go to verse 22 again, please. But now being made free from sin and become servants for God. You don't have to sin. I said, you don't have to sin. Yeah, but no. We're not going to be foolish enough to sit here in a time of fellowship, in a time of where we have sung the promises of God. We're not going to sit here and call God a liar. We are free from sin and have become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Not only do you not have to sin, you can trust God to do the right thing. I said, you can trust God to do the right thing. Yeah, but I'm never going to do anything great. Neither am I. There are going to be things that we do nobody will understand this side of heaven. We don't need the accolades of humanity because God knows. Do you believe that? Are we on the same page? Are we on the same Bible? Everybody got a Bible? Okay, all right, good. Look, now remember, I told you before that Romans 6 was written to the Christian as much as it was to the unsaved. So in the light of the context, now catch verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. He's trying to explain something. You have been set free from sin. Listen, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and we have it now. Your life, your eternal life began the moment you trusted Christ. It's not going to begin when we quit breathing. It began then. Well, yeah, you know, I understand that. No, no. You see, we don't live like that. Sometimes we don't, and you know we don't. It reflects in our prayers. It reflects in our attitudes, in all of that. Folks, we are free from sin. We don't have to sin. We have the righteousness of Christ. That's what the Father sees. The wages of sin is death. We will never know that wage if we've truly trusted Christ. Get it in your head. Don't let Satan distort. Now, let's stop and consider this. Again, get it in your head. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes it's just so hard to serve God. We've got to stop and consider something there. If we're finding ourselves getting exhausted, sometimes it's because we're doing it in the flesh. But let's consider this truth again. We're talking about just leaving a gospel tract, an invitation at somebody's house this Saturday. I know, listen, I understand. I understand. Praise God, I think I'm getting better. I'm telling you, I think it was one of the lowest demons in hell that got somebody to create COVID. I'll stop there. We're on the winning side. Galatians 5, write it down. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hey! By God's grace, I can do this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now listen, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is amazing to watch in humanity, in our culture, on the news or whatever, people that you know, they have given their lives to enslave others. Klaus Schwab is one of those. He wants to get rid of the useless eaters in this world. One day he'll stand before God and realize just how useless his works were when it came to what he was trying to do in this world. There is a wicked one that is seeking to enslave you again. That's what pornography does on the internet. That's what bitterness does. That's what an angry spirit does. There are other things I could mention, but the truth is, when it comes to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, listen, Satan is using that to take you and get you under his power again with his lies. He can't do it by force, but he can sure come to you like he did in a sinless place known as the garden. And he can ask his questions and bring his distortions. Write this down and turn to it. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Paul said, take a look at it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our enemies are those that don't look like us. They are the principalities, the powers, etc. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan comes in and he builds a little kingdom in your mind. Do you know there's every possibility that there is somebody sitting in this auditorium or listening to this message or will listen that has a little stronghold? Satan has gotten you to believe something. And we can sit back in the chairs and smugly think, it's not me. And Satan says, yeah. If you've got a spirit of, I don't know, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, and you've given yourself a little bit of room, guess what? Somebody's occupied that place, and he wants to destroy you. So what do we do? Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see, that knowledge, that's what we've got to get in our heads. Satan is a defeated foe. His lies don't have power unless you let them. So fill your mind with God's truth. Now, if I can recommend this, as we're listening to the word, and I mean this, don't be thinking this, boy, I sure wish so-and-so was hearing this message. No, you know who needs to hear this message? We all do. We all do. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Lord Jesus is not an option that we have in order to enjoy life. He is our master. I would rather have a holy, righteous, merciful, loving master named Jesus Christ than self on the throne. I don't know about yourself, but my self has gotten me in a whole lot of trouble in time past. You stop and consider it. We need the scripture. We need to get it in our heads. I've used this before, forgive me. But when I first came back to California back in 76, I got a job with Lockheed. I was refueling aircraft. I lived in Martinez, California, and I was refueling aircraft at SFO. I was fueling the airlines, and it was fascinating. There was an airplane that hadn't been out all that long called the 747, and Japan Airlines had them, and we refueled them. That thing had 11 tanks on it. I'd pull my truck in underneath the wing. I'd go down into the take the valve, you know, and connect to the fuel line in the ground, and then raise the platform, and I'd connect onto the wing, and it would take me over an hour to fuel that airplane. That was fascinating. About 6 months of the time that I was working for Lockheed there, I worked the overnight shift, 11 at night, 7 in the morning. And when I was driving in, I don't know why, I don't recommend this, I got stupid. You know, I'd leave 9:30, something like that. I'd leave Martinez, and I'd be taken off to go to the park in the employee parking lot there at SFO. And they had a religious station. It wasn't a Christian station. It was a religious station. They had all kinds of wackos on there. And there was a certain wacko at 10 p.m. I would turn on. His dad had been part of their, he had led their cult. His name was Herbert W. Armstrong. And then he gave it over to his son for a while. He gave it over to Garner Ted Armstrong. So I'd turn my radio on just to kind of help me stay awake. And I'm driving in to SFO, and I'm listening to Garner Ted Armstrong. And as he's talking, I'd go, nope, lie. And I would wind up, I'd think of scripture to counter what he was saying. But you know, there were times the scripture didn't come fast enough. How many of you have all of a sudden, your brain just locks up. You can't think. There were a few times, honestly, I actually broke out into a sweat because I couldn't think fast enough to counter the lies of the wicked one coming out of his mouth. This is why we need a steady time of scripture. Get it in your head. Satan is busy at blinding. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They say, well, hey, you know, I mean, I'm a Christian. I've got a Bible. Can I remind you of something? Satan knows what you have ignored. Write it down. Satan knows what you have ignored. He knows the scripture. He understands. We might think, nah, he'd never pay attention to us. There isn't a person in this room that if you walked away from God, it wouldn't affect anybody. It would affect somebody. It would affect somebody. It would affect more than one person, in fact. Get it in your head. Secondly, get it in your hand what God has given. The second part of verse 17, Ephesians 6, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That sword that was given, each Roman soldier had, was between 6 to 18 inches in length, usually was double-edged. In hand-to-hand combat on the battlefield, it was the main weapon of the Roman soldier other than the spear. But in hand-to-hand, it was right there. Now, remember this. Neither principalities, nor powers, nor the rulers of the world's darkness, nor wicked spirits in high places, nor Satan himself can withstand the sword of the Spirit. Don't ask me to read that again, but just get it. Satan can't withstand the Word of God. He can't do it. Hell has no defense None whatsoever. Why? Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Write it down. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your Bible, my Bible, knows how to get into our hearts and say, this is what you meant here, and this is what you ought to do here, and this is what you need to stay away from right here. The Word of God does that. Listen, the best answer to the worldly philosophies is the Word of God. You know, we read about things like behavioral psychology, liberal theology, cults, false religions. The best answer is the Word of God. You stop and consider it. Remember creation? And God said, He said, let there be light. And He waited for a while. No. And there was the same voice that spoke that, spoke this. Now stop and consider it. This is God breathed. God spoke the worlds into existence. He did the same thing with us. So with that in mind, with that word, get it in your hand. What happens? Let me give you, for instance, how many of you in this room have ever dealt with fear? My hand is up. All right? Write this down. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, this is one of the verses I'm going to show you. We don't stop to consider this, or at least some of us don't. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What happens when we read that verse? We have a disease that comes up. It's called the yabbits. You ever done that? Yeah, but, you know, I mean, No, now wait a minute. There is in you right now, if you trusted Christ, hello? If you have trusted the Lord, there is in you right now this, the spirit, power, love, and of a sound or disciplined mind. It's there. You just need to recognize it. I just need to recognize it. It's there. I'm going to act on faith and exercise it. Here's another one. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or complete in love. When we come to the point where we recognize that, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so, I will trust it. We come to that point, and that love casts out fear, because I don't have to stop and wait and ask myself, does God really love me? See, that's using the sword of the Spirit. Get it in your hand. Get it in your hand. My mom's, excuse me, this was in her nearby what her life verse was. Take this down. Proverbs 3, Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. You know what that is? That's a panic attack. Our minds, you know, we let them go on. I know because I've been there. We let our minds go on in uncertainty, and all of a sudden there's a grip on us. We can't explain it, but you think you're having a heart attack. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked. You know, when you turn the television on and they're talking about war and you're seeing missiles going through the sky and you're wondering what is going to take place. Let me tell you what's going to take place. God's will. Never out of his hand. He's large and in charge. Listen. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How about discouragement? Anybody here ever been discouraged? My hand is up. You ever been there, done that? Yep. Someone said this, Satan has many tools, but discouragement is the handle that fits them all. I think there's a lot of truth to that. There's a verse I remind myself of every day, Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. That means not one thing. Not one thing. Get it in your hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, take the steps. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And maybe God will settle you down. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, you can't explain it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world gives a pill. Christ gives a new regenerated heart, a way to think. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How about doubt? Here's an interesting one. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Short verse, but it speaks a mountain. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If he has called, well, let's put it this way. Whatever God orders, he pays for. There it is. If God has ordered a situation into our lives, he has brought with it the way to walk through it. Now, that can be difficult. I understand that. There are good men that have gotten shaky on the promises of God. And they have come and said, Lord, you promised, and he did. But he answers. He answers. How about guidance? Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book gives you the next steps. It doesn't give you what's 157 steps down. That's not what a lamp does. It shows you where you are. Gives you this one and this one and this one. Now, please bear with me. Don't leave me yet. Would you please go to John chapter 8? John chapter 8. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, that truth that we have keeps us free from sin. I've got a little bit more that I could go into, but I believe the point has been made. Get it in your head. Get it in your hand. God's word. It is God's word that we can live by, and we can defeat the lies of the wicked one. Now, I'm not going to ask for any hands. But I wonder, is there anybody here? And don't raise your hand. I wonder if there's anybody here that to one degree or another, you've been ensnared by something. There's a freedom that you need. You get the helmet on. You get the sword in hand, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, which is that knowledge of your salvation. You have it settled. I am a new creature in Christ. You get that. And Satan has no answer for you. Amen?